Welcome to our podcast, Kuehne+Nagel Shipping Insights, Sea Freight News and Supply Chain Solutions. My name is Sarah Vollmer, and I'm pleased to be your host today. Sea Freight has been a part of me for over 18 years, and I currently serve as Vice President, Sea Freight Go-to-Market Strategy for Kuehne+Nagel in New York. The logistics and supply chain industry has been experiencing exciting times, and we have witnessed heightened global awareness of our industry since the onset of the pandemic in 2020. Our podcasts are aimed at not only providing information, but also offering insights for navigating these exciting times from a group of our experts. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Kuehne+Nagel's podcast series, Shipping Insights. Today, we're talking commodities. Commodities. What are those? What happens? Is that a specific thing? We're going to unravel what commodities are with one of our very own experts, Knut Meyer. Knut, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be in your show. Thank you for having me. And yeah, let's talk about commodities and hopefully especially about dry fruits and nuts, which is my area of responsibility.
Okay, well, you're making me hungry already. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? And how long have you been at Kuehne+Nagel?
I am now 37 years old, originally born and living in Hamburg. I also lived in several other countries, but now I am since 7 years with Kuehne+Nagel and more or less 1.5 years now in the role of Global Development Manager for Dry Fruits and Nuts Sea Logistics.
Okay, that sounds like a mouthful.
Exactly, it is. It's a delicious topic and also a topic I even spend in my free time talking about friends about this topic.
Really? You talk about it with friends, dried fruits and nuts?
I'm famous within the family and also now in my circle of friends when it comes to dry fruits and nuts.
Okay. I think we'll circle back on that topic a little later. So why don't you share with us a little bit about your insights regarding the commodities market and specifically your expertise of dried fruits and nuts? What makes it different?
Sure. So let me maybe shortly start with what is dry fruits and nuts? Which products fall into this product category that everybody also can understand what products we are talking about? So I would say we mainly have three subcategories. It's the tree nuts that are mainly almonds, walnuts, pistachio, hazelnuts, cashews, pecan, macadamia, pine nuts, and also Brazil nuts. Then we have the second category, ground nuts, which is the peanut. And then we have the part, the dry fruits, where products like dried grapes, dates, cranberries, prunes, and also dried apricots and figs belong to. We also involve now also seeds like sunflower seeds or sesame seeds that are attached to this product. And maybe also to give you a short introduction about the market size that you have an idea how big it is production-wise. We can see that per year we produce, or the world produces, 5 million metric ton tree nuts. I think what is outstanding is the growth over the last 10 years. 10 years ago, it was just 3 million metric tons. So we see 250,000 metric tons per year growing. And this shows also the potential for the future in this product. The same with peanuts. It's way bigger, but it's also a big consumption market by its own. It's 50 million metric tons. And dry fruits and nuts have grown over the last 10 years 30%. So all these categories are already a big and interesting market, but also understand that it's a growing market.
Okay, so that's some pretty big growth, especially year over year. What's driving that?
There are several factors that are driving the industry. In general, a growing business because also of the awareness of consumers about health benefits. And I would say we can see it also in the daily business that the health plays a bigger role in our daily consumption. People take more care what they are eating. So the whole market of healthy lifestyle has gone through a big growth. And part of this is then also dry fruits and nuts, where we can, for example, see in the snacking industry an example. Maybe back in the days, it was a lot of artificial products with excess of fat, sugars, a lot of salt. This industry is also becoming way more healthy. If you think of what you're snacking at the moment, it's more like fresh and natural products. And if you see in the supermarket, the product mixes are more natural and based on dried fruits and nuts. So this is a big trend. And then there's also innovation driving the market. Just think of cheese or also meat substitutes that can be based on sunflower seeds, cashew or walnuts with some special herbs. It will taste, and I already tried it. It's quite a good substitute. Yeah, and I also tried already vegan cheese that is made of cashew, also a big area where the growth is coming from. These are, I would say, some points where you can see the growth is coming from.
Okay, all right. So I try to eat as plant-based as possible. And I have to say, yes, I am a big fan of plant-based milks, as well as, remain nameless, but some burgers of a certain brand that are quite tasty. And we actually even trick our kids into eating them. So all good with that. Okay, so definitely an interesting topic, an interesting product range for sure that I think everyone can relate to. What, where do all these products come from? Like what are the trade lanes specifically for the DFN, or also known as the dried fruits and nuts?
Yeah, let me try to give you a certain overview of the trade lane. So maybe we start with the origins, where the products are originally coming from. It's a natural product. It grows just in certain areas. It needs a certain condition where these products are growing. So from origin-wise, the US is the leading production for tree nuts. I would say between 30 and 40% of the global supply is coming from the US, and especially almonds, pistachio, and walnuts. Second one in the tree nut area is then Turkey, with 10 to 15% for hazelnuts and pistachios. And then we have also markets like Chile for walnuts, Vietnam, where cashews are coming from, Australia, macadamia, almonds, and also Iran, pistachio is also a big market. For peanuts, it's China and India. These are quite big growers, but they are having also their own consumption. So for export-wise, I would say the biggest one, at least going to Europe, are Argentina, Brazil, and the US. The Middle East plays for the dry fruits a quite big role. And destination, so this was the origin part, destination. We see that the EU is for all the origin markets a very important market. But we also see other countries that are developing quite well. And the biggest country, for example, of imports of almonds is India. Asia in general, Japan, China, South Korea, Vietnam play a role in importing these products. Middle East, Turkey is a big market, but also UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan are importing a lot. And the US is a big market for imports of cashew from Vietnam. So this is more or less the trade lanes in a broad overview.
Okay, so quite a variety of country pairs here and that, lots of different personalities, you know. We've heard from many folks on our show, such as, you know, drinks, such as beverages and wine and whatnot, and LCL cargo, and some other types. So I would think that DFN has its own set of challenges when it comes to shipping via sea freight around the world, correct?
That's totally correct. So I think we have, for all products, challenges in supply chain, and we saw also the last 2 years what extreme challenges we were facing and what all participants in the supply chain were facing. And yeah, for dry fruits and nuts, since I already spoke about the main origins, we understand that from the US is a very important export market, and then California comes into play, where almonds, pistachio, and walnuts are grown. So we remember maybe the last two years, where was the hot spot of all the congestion was Oakland, Long Beach. It was in the news. So more than 100 ships were waiting in front of the port, and that made it very hard for the shippers. It's a natural product. It needs to be harvested and then, yeah, also supplied during the year to all these countries. And it was very challenging for the farmers to get these products out of the market to the final destination, also with big delays. For example, here in Europe, we need to have the products of almonds and also especially walnuts for Christmas. We like to bake. We like to have these products in December in the supermarket. And there was a delay. And for the shippers, yeah, they couldn't get all their products out. So there's still a carryover effect. That means that still old harvest is in the warehouses for them. Even though we need also to say that the logistic situation dramatically improved. So there's no real congestion anymore. But still, the old harvest is also for some products in the warehouses. And yeah, that leads also to lower prices because there's so much product available now that the farmers need to sell the products to a lower price. So that has been a very big challenge that is still where we see the effect still ongoing. Another challenge, especially in summer times, warm condition can be challenging for these products. And then also our reefer product can come into play, where we also can provide solution in special warm summer days.
Okay. So one thing, you know, that you didn't exactly touch on, you just mentioned some warm summer days right now, but what role does climate change have on the industry? And what are some of the impacts of the increase to drive sustainability within DFN? Is it possible to do so?
Sustainability plays a very important role also in the market, since it is a natural product and the product depends on the environment that we are having. And we see also I'm coming back also to California, that there's water issues, heat, even some fires that are challenging. So the producers itself, I think over generation, are already interested in sustainable approach. They are thinking already since several years about how to reduce or make the supply of water more efficient for the planting, waste reduction, and also the packaging to make it more sustainable, how to manage the pesticides, that they are less aggressive and also more environmental friendly. These are topics that they are thinking of. And also we are requested also to put our insights about the supply chain. So we are part as Kühne & Nagel also in several institutions that are important in the dry fruits and nuts industry. And there we are part of workshops where we are discussing the topic of sustainability areas, and we give insights about visibility, possibilities of avoidance, reduction, and even of the supply chain.
I want to talk to you about a little bit more about the trends. So you mentioned earlier in our discussion about the fact that the need for people to want to be healthier is driving a lot of the volume increase within dried fruits and nuts. What are some of the other trends that you're seeing within the marketplace?
Yeah, so the healthy part, I would say, is one of the key drivers, the healthy lifestyle. But we can also see that some economic developments and some markets are also coming into place. I would say, looking back 10 years ago, the EU was the main importer. So we see now that the Middle East becomes a way more important market for the origins. India, as I mentioned, is a way bigger market. And also for the future, Africa is seen as quite a potential market where future growth is seen. And I'm also quite optimistic that the growth will continue because of just also developments of markets.
Okay, all right. So what are some of the future opportunities that are out there within the DFN? So yes, of course, you just touched upon, Africa. you know, we at Kuninagal, we have quite a extensive African strategy ourselves. But what else? What else? I always love to ask what I call my cloudy crystal ball question. So what is the rest of 2023 and into 2024 hold for DFN?
This is also hard for me to answer. There are so many different industries that are involved in dry fruits and nuts, and where you can find also dry fruits and nuts. And they are also doing research how to use more and more, and also marketing more and more the dry fruits and nuts. So if you think of the snacking industry, as I also mentioned, less sugar, use more natural products like maybe dates or cranberries, then we see the bakery and confectionery industry, or the breakfast cereal industry, I think is also growing quite fast, where muesli, granola plays a part, where crunchy nuts and dry fruits, a big thing in this industry. I also think the milk industry, the substitution of the milk in general, and also more sustainable approach, is the nut milk of cashew, almond, or hazelnut. And I think also you see this if you're going to the supermarket, you can see also shelves full of these products with, yeah, maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, you didn't see these products. So there's always coming new ideas, new innovation that are driving also the growth of dry fruits and nuts.
All right. So I thank you for that. I feel like I am a dried fruit and nut expert now. And like I said at the start, you've really started to make me very hungry as we've gone through our discussion. But Knud, I appreciate you coming out on the show. Thank you so much for talking to me. And I hope our listeners have also gained some additional insights that maybe they didn't have in regard to this specific commodity.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation. And yeah, I really like the topic and also talking about the product. So I hope I gave some interesting insights. And my suggestion is snack more dried fruits and nuts. It's healthy.
Snack more dried fruits and nuts. Go, go, go. I appreciate that. That's a great segue. So thank you, everyone, for tuning into us. I'm your host, Sarah Fulmer. And please be sure to follow us on social to learn about our next podcast episode topic. Bye for now.